I want to look tonight in, I think Luke it is, and about the third chapter, and second chapter of Luke. And tonight I want to just simply say among all of us tonight, the question is asked of Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they give many answers. Not that they necessarily do that, but they say that people say in the 16th chapter of Matthew and in Luke, you'll see that when he asked them the question, they say, some say you're Elijah, and some say that you're John the Baptist. And some people, some people say that you are Jeremiah and that you are a great prophet and so forth and so on. And the whole time Jesus' life goes on, there's always a theme that keeps going. And I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures tonight, and one of them is in James. And I won't be long tonight. That's a promise. The whole time Jesus' life from the very beginning, even when Isaiah says that he's going to come, he tells you that Jesus is going to be Emmanuel, that God is with us. And he tells you that he's going to be a wonderful counselor and that government shall sit upon his shoulders and he'll be wonderful. And he names him and says who he is. And in Luke, the second chapter, about 46th verse, we'll start about verse 43. Luke, the second chapter, verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the day, he's talking about Mary and Joseph. I guess we'll start at 2 then. 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, or when the feast was over, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. When they left, he didn't leave with them. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And times weren't like they are now. They were all relatives and cousins and aunts and uncles and everybody else as one great big happy family. And if he wasn't with one set, he was with another set, so they assumed. And they weren't worried about him. Like today, we have to make sure we know exactly where our children are all the time. I remember when I was growing up in Philadelphia every night at 10:30, since if you weren't 17, you had to be off the street by 10:30. You had to be home by 10:30. And they'd come on television and say, "It's 10:30. Do you know where your children are?" But in Jesus' time, they were all one, and everybody took care of everybody. So it says in this, "And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions." 3 days, and this is certainly different from our culture, because we by now have filed a missing persons report and did a whole lot of things, but it was different in that time. And the world was a gentler place, and the way they communed and did everything, they were all family. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." In other words, we were worried about you. And he said to them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not, and didn't you know that if I wasn't where you are, then I would be in the temple?" In other words, I would be about my father's business. He makes this statement, which the writer, Luke, records, because this is one of the first times that you actually hear him, or the first time that you actually hear Jesus declare himself that he is the Son of God.
Yes.
And that God is his Father. And tonight I would ask you, go to James, and take a look for a minute. James, and James chapter 1. And James chapter 1. And verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James writes this, and he says that if we need anything from God, we need to come. But he says when we come to God, we need to come in faith, knowing who God is, and asking God for what we want. And the other point that I'd like to point out tonight is James is saying, you need to know who you are.
All right.
You need to know who you are. When Jesus calls on the Father, he knows who he is. And the whole time that Jesus is in the earth, the big doubt that Satan keeps feeding to him everywhere he goes, everybody keeps saying, who are you? Prove. He says, I'm the Son of God. Prove it. The big contention with the Pharisees and all the people was, it isn't that he's not a miracle worker or he doesn't have power. It isn't that he doesn't know how to worship God or he doesn't lay hands on the sick and that virtue flows from him and power goes out. Everybody can see that. But the point of it is it's not that that isn't what the devil's trying to get him to not do to stop him. He wants him to doubt who he is in God. And even though he's doing great miracles, many people don't believe in him. And everywhere he goes, this lesson, when I was looking at it, ties in also with the lesson of the sower who goes out to sow in Matthew the 13th chapter. And he gets down to the verse of the sowers, and it talks about it in Luke day chapter. And it gets down to the one verse, we'll go to that, Matthew, I think, 13. And Matthew 13 and, I don't know, maybe 23 or so, wherever it is. 22. Matthew 13 and 22 will work. Jesus talks about going out to sow seeds, and he talks about the ones that as soon as he sows them, the fowls of the air, the devil comes and takes it right out of your mind. You know, you're no longer witnessing to someone that the devil has already caused them not to believe and to go another way and to wish you were gone someplace else. It's gone. And then he talks about the seed that fall on hard ground. You're just one of these people that I've had people say to me, you know, I'm going to get saved one day. I'm just not ready to do it now. You know, just hard ground. Say you need the Lord. Well, you know, we preach and teach, and you're just hard ground. Some reason or another, you have this thing in your mind that you either don't need God or you don't need God now. And hard ground, if I was to use another word, I'd just say you're just obstinate.
Yes.
And you're very stubborn. You're hard ground. And no matter how much we preach and teach, you have your own way or your own mind. You're hard ground. And when the Lord seeks to mold you and make you into something, you know, make you into someone like Jesus Christ, you're hard ground. You're like Pharaoh. Pharaoh's hard ground. The more miracles he sees, the harder he becomes. And the more resistant to God he is. And some people are like that. As the word of God goes forth, the more you preach and say to them, you need to glorify God, and the Lord will bless you, and you need to pray and seek God, the more resistant they become. And they harden themselves with their own reasoning and with their own logic and with their own way. And they never allow the word of God to really take up any root. It's just hard ground. And he hath not yet root himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation and persecution arises, because of the word bound by, he's offended. In other words, everything offends you. When difficult times come, instead of coming to the Lord and growing close to the Lord, you grow further away. That's the sort of person who, when they look at their lives and look at their blessings, instead of saying that the Lord would bless them more if they drew closer, they do just the opposite. They say, well, you know, why should I draw closer because the Lord hasn't blessed me?
Yeah.
Or why should I do more because God hasn't done any more for me than what he's done? And really, it should be the other way around. If you would come to God, God would do more.
Yeah.
If you would allow the Lord more room in your life, you miss the point. It isn't so much that God doesn't do anything for you. It's that you don't have room for God to do anything for you. There's too much you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't deny you and the way you are. There's so much of you. You're so overwhelming of yourself. You don't leave room for the Spirit to move in you. You don't leave room for God to move. And you've become, you know, like you're like stony ground. The seeds land, but they just can't take root because as fast as the Word of God comes, it just can't get into your affections and into your desires like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make you turn in such a way that you would seek God with all your heart like you should, you know, for someone who really needs a blessing. Then, you know, when someone has what you need and you absolutely need it for life's sake, you'll get on your knees if you have to, and you'll grovel if you need to, because they hold your life in their hands, and you can't see the pride of you and the person of you can't see you really turning to God like you're supposed to turn to God. You keep explaining to yourself how you don't need to do all that and how you're going to be all right already. You're hard ground.
Yes.
You are, and you don't take much. It doesn't take much. Many people who are hard ground, the reason why they're still in God at all is simply because of the grace of God and because of the way he's held them.
That's right.
And he hasn't allowed yet the sun to come up and really wear them out and allow things to really come in their lives. Otherwise, they would be gone. 22, and he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becomes unfruitful. And that's the one I want to deal with, because I'm always, the Lord deals with me with love not the world. The thorns and the briars are the world, the cares of the world, the things that are in the world. And it's not just bars and sin and music. It's all that is in the world. Let me say this and then move on. The one thing that all of us must realize is that when Adam fell in the garden, the whole world system was condemned by God.
Yes.
It became a system of government that we ought not need.
Yeah.
Because if we were all in agreement with God, we would not need to be governed by anyone. We would
yes.
be governed by God.
Yeah.
And it is a system whereby we have differences of opinion. So we elect this one, or elect that one. We go in this direction, that direction, and these, when we are for this and against this and against this and against that, which ought not be if it wasn't for the ravages of sin. And when Peter talks about that we have by the blood of Jesus, by what God has given us, we escape the corruption that is in the world by sin. He's not just referring to, the corruption that's in the world through lust. He's not just referring to my lust or your lust or the things we want, although his corruption is in the world because of Adam's lust.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's what he desired more than God. It's what Eve desired more than God. The corruption that is in the world started in the garden because they wanted something other than God. The corruption, in other words, what turns us from God, what turns us away, and what causes us not to be what we should be. The corruption, the thing that destroys us, makes us weak, it causes our hope of heaven to be suspect and makes us not sure about God. And this is what James is talking about when he says, let us ask in faith, not wavering, knowing who we are in God. The corruption that is in the world through lust. And when we look at Jesus' life, everything that pulls on you today pulled on him. The religious people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees who are in the church, one faction is ultra-religious and they believe in, you know, they're the Pentecostals. The other faction, they're Jewish, but they don't believe in moving by the Spirit or angels or anything supernatural. They're back then. Then you have the Gentile believers who are idolaters. The world is all around.
Yeah.
And they're all questioning Jesus. The Romans ask him, who are you? Who are you?
Yes.
Even John the Baptist, who... he's in prison and he sends and he asks Jesus, he asks the disciples, he says, is that Is that the Messiah? Is it going to be someone else? And I can see how the devil would use John's questioning of Jesus to really try to establish doubt in him, because John the Baptist is the one who has proclaimed him and introduced him. And if you come to me and you introduce me as some great one, and then later on you turn around and say, well, now I'm not sure whether you're that or not, then you might make me want to question myself.
Yeah, that's right.
And the devil didn't care who he used. He would send his family to him. The corruption, and I want everybody to understand what Peter is talking about when he talks about the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's what's in the world that turns us from God. It corrupts us.
Yes.
Makes us not be holy. Makes us not be faithful. Makes us not hold on to God like we should. Whatever corrupts you. And our desires in the world, if it's family, it's our desire to belong. It's our desire to please. It's our desire to do all those things. But you have a right to do all that, but you must not let it corrupt you when it comes to God and erode your faith in God. If it's a job, it's our desire to be successful. If a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. But you must not let your jobs and careers get in the way of you being in God. They corrupt you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's your education or whatever it is. You mustn't let the world creep in, because we live in the world system, and all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, belongs to this system. If Adam had not fallen, we wouldn't need any of that.
Amen.
If Adam hadn't fallen, you wouldn't need medicine because you wouldn't get sick.
Amen.
If Adam had not fallen, you wouldn't need education because you'd know everything.
That's right.
If Adam hadn't fallen, we wouldn't need a government. We'd all be in agreement with God. If the earth was not corrupt as it is, we wouldn't have wars. We wouldn't have to have an opinion as to what is right and what is wrong. That corruption comes because of man's desires in the earth. And we're always trying to please. We would try to please God as much as we try to please the earth.
Yes.
It corrupts us.
Right.
We chase after it. We seek after them. You know, we're ambitious. And even in church, this is why emulation is such a sin. Even in church work, everybody wants to seem to rise to the top. You want to have this seat, and you want to have this title, and you want to be stowed this position, and you want this, and you want that. And the point of it is why not let God lift you to the top?
Yes.
And then you don't mind lifting everybody else up around you. I know when you're in God and when you're not, because when you're being lifted by God, you want to lift everybody else with you. When you're lifting yourself, you want to push everybody else down so you can be on top.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Don't you know the only person we're ever supposed to want to be on top is God? Haven't you figured it out yet? That the only person we ever want to see that's sitting in high places is God? Haven't you figured it out yet? That if God had his way, the disciples came to Jesus one time and they said, you know, they're down there, you know, among the camp, and he says, they're down there laying hands. And the disciples says, you want us to stop them? He said, no. He said that they're calling on God the Father like I am. They're not against us, they're for us.
Right. Yes.
They're with us. He that is not against us is for us. Don't you know, when we talk about the things that separate us in the world, don't you get it? Aren't you, you know, when we talk about escaping earth and being free of this system, this is what holds us back.
Yes.
It's what stops us. It's the thorns. You're in God, but the thorns spring up.
Oh, yes.
Even in the church, there are thorns and briars.
Yes.
And they choke the life out.
Yes.
They make church not be fun.
Yes.
They choke the joy out of coming. Some people want to dominate. They want preach what they want to preach. They want service like they want service to go. They want to be in charge of everything. They want to be this. They want to be. And they just strangle it so that it comes instead of being open and godly, so that everyone has a part, as Jesus says, so that everyone has a seat at the table. You just want to make sure you have a seat. Everybody understand?
Yes.
Wow.
As long as you have your seat.
Yes.
And you want your seat in the middle so everybody's pointing toward you.
Yes.
Don't you know that position is reserved by God?
God, amen.
But you are corrupted because you desire the power. You desire the ambition. Don't you know, even in Jesus' mother and father, mother and sisters and brothers and all of them, I guess Joseph is dead by then, his mother and his brothers come along and Jesus is preaching and teaching. Don't you know, Jesus lets the people know when he says, who is my mother, my father, my brother, those who do the will of God. He's making a point. He says, the people who do the will of God are above. He says, I love them and I need them to go along with them more so than I need to be with my mother and my father. In other words, he's saying God is first in my life. Yes. He's not saying he doesn't love his mother. Matter of fact, when you see Jesus at the cross, one of the last things he does is tell John to take care of his mother.
Yes.
So the devil fools people. You say, well, you know, don't let your family fool you out. The devil gets in you.
Yes.
And trying to keep me from my family, but you know, family is all I got. My ancestors, my this. I get sick every time I hear a black person in particular talking about his ancestors.
Yeah.
I don't like. I have pictures of my ancestors on my wall. I can chase my ancestry back further than a lot of other people can. I can chase my ancestry back further than some people, you know, at the top who try to claim to everything. But I don't worship them. I don't pray to them, and they're not who to me. When you get into that, you're into idolatry. It's not my great-grandfather or my great-great-great-grandfather who's watching over me. It's Jesus, my intercessor. There's one intercessor between God and man. It's always Jesus. And don't pretend that it's Jesus if you got this thing with my ancestors watching over me. No, you better hope they're in heaven, but they have something else to do.
Yes.
They don't have the responsibility for maintaining me because they don't have the power, and it's not their job. It's given to Christ. And if you're going to be anything in God, Christ is where you have to turn to, not your great, 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 whoever, whoever. Then when it comes to family, I love them. My God, we're closer now than we've ever been in my life. But they have a healthy respect for where I am in God. And they all know when I'm supposed to be somewhere in God, I'm not going to be somewhere with them.
Yes.
How else would I win them and convince them that my God is greater if their love supersedes my love for God?
Yes.
Briars and thorns that spring up and choke the life out. And, you know, when Jesus is 12 and they come back and they ask him, so why did you, you know, why are you here? He says, don't you get it? I mean, it's not that I don't love you and Joseph and love everybody on the road. He says, I really got to get prepared here.
Yeah.
You know, I need to really find out what I need to do with my father. I need to be about his business. That takes precedent over everything.
Yes.
I've got to make sure that I'm doing what the Lord would have me do. And then Jesus knows something else. When you obey God, everything else works out. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, when a woman's ways please the Lord, you want life to be good? Start pleasing God. You want folk to be leveled out in your life? Start pleasing God. When a man's or a woman's ways, a child, anybody, when you start pleasing God, God works things out, and he makes things be all right, but you're missing the point. Because God told Abraham all the way back some 6,000 years ago, he said, I will bless them that bless you, and I'll take care of them that curse you.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He said, I mean, he made this promise. He said, by you all nations are going to be blessed. And he said, then I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those, or I'll take care of them. Or I'll defend you from all those who don't like you. I'll bless everybody who likes you, and I'll take care of everybody who doesn't, and you will be all right. But we don't trust God. That's why James says, let him ask in faith. Let him ask nothing wavering, trusting in God, knowing who you are. So Jesus tells them when they come to find him in the temple, he says, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? He says, don't you know who I am? I'm the son. When he says I have to be about my Father's business, you know what he's saying to them? I'm the Son of God. Now I want you to briefly turn in your Bible and let's look at some books real quick. And you can start with, it doesn't matter. We'll start right here in Romans, the first chapter. Everybody there? Romans chapter 1. Get ready to really flip now. Y'all ready?
Okay.
Romans chapter 1. All right. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Oh, don't stay in Romans. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. How about there? Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Oh, don't stop there. Let's go all down to 2 Corinthians. Let's go there. Doesn't this sound like somebody who knows who he is?
Yes.
Paul, the apostle of Jesus. And just keep reading. Keep going. And you start to see, problem is you don't identify with God like you're supposed to.
All right.
And Jesus always knew he was the Son of God, so the devil always kept asking him, who are you? And he kept saying, I'm the Son of God. All the way down to Pilate, are you a king? He says, yes, I am. He says, my kingdom's not here. He says, but I can call on my Father and he'll show you his army. His mind was made up. It got to be the point where one of the closest disciples to him, which is Peter, and another one, Judas, they stopped believing he's who he is.
Yes.
His mother and his brothers are wondering. His brothers never really got the message until he's resurrected. They're always trying him. Well, if you're the Father, if you're the Son of God, why don't you go down to Jerusalem and preach? They're always saying, if you got so much God, why don't you? You know what? You don't have to tell me. The Holy Ghost tells me. I know. Because I'm human just like you. The Holy Ghost, your family will say to you, you got so much God, why don't you? You got so much God, why don't you? You got so much God. Don't let them challenge you in God.
Right, yes.
Know who you are in God. Make up your mind. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Stop walking around your family like you're not sure whether you're saved or not. And let them know. You know what? I love all y'all, but y'all ain't going to stop me from being in God now.
Amen. Yes.
Stop going on your job. You don't have to preach on your job. When you go to your job, work.
Yes.
And do what you're supposed to do. Don't sit there all day long reading your Bible. Don't tie people up at the water fountain trying to preach to them. Don't do any of those things. Work. But when you get an opportunity and someone asks you, you know, if something shows up or whether you're saved or not, you need to let it be known, I belong to God.
Yes.
My language is different because I belong to God.
Yes.
The way my temperament is different. Unless you're blowing up and cussing people out, doing like everybody else, then your light is darkness anyway, so you may as well not tell them you belong to God. But if you're living like you're supposed to, you're supposed to at some point to have just make the declaration. So what are you doing this weekend? Well, I know I don't know everything I'm going to do this weekend, but I am going to church, so I always do. But if you're somebody that, my goodness, all somebody has to do is sneeze and you decide you don't want to go to church.
Yeah.
Anything they got going, here you are.
Yeah.
Wherever they are, here you are.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're not a witness for Christ. They've already figured that out. They're stronger in their God. Jesus told the disciples one time. He says to the sinners, he says they're stronger in what they do than you are in what you do.
Yeah.
He told them, he said the world is stronger in what they do than you are in what you do. And I can't say exact scripture, but he said that. And when you're somebody that everybody who calls your name can pull you away from God, no matter what, and it's not just in person, they can pull you away from God because they make you so angry. Your anger takes you away from God. You get so frustrated, your frustration takes you away from God.
Yeah.
You get so disgusted, your lifestyle just easily moves away from God. You're like, as James says, you're like the wave tossed upon the sea and tossed. And anything that comes your way, when he talks about being double-minded, your mind's not made up. One moment you're professing, thank you, Jesus, and the next moment you're upset and wondering where God is and sounding just like them. Let him ask in faith. Lord, come in and deliver me, because I belong to you. Wherefore, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll be your Father, and you'll be my sons and daughters. You know what? Charles the priest is under. Dearly beloved, he says in his place, behold, what manner of love hath the Father, that we should be called the sons of God. Now! Everybody say now.
Now.
At this time. We are now the sons of God. Why do you need to go to church every Sunday? Because I'm a son of God. Why is Jesus in the temple? Because he's God's son. What is he doing there? I'm learning to be about my Father's business. I had a few more questions I needed to ask. I wanted to be clear on something, and I'm working on it all this time, and it was worth my time to be where the people are that are supposed to know about God. I'm going about my Father's business, and nothing's going to stop me. Why would I be anyplace else? But if everything that comes along
Yeah.
Comes between you and God.
God, that's right.
It's like the thorns and the briars that spring up.
Yes.
That once you're in the Lord, they choke the life out of you.
Yes.
The cares of the world. And I'm concerned at how I'm viewed by my cousins. And I'm concerned how my job sees me. And I'm concerned about the people in my career path. And I don't want to write down that I spend this much time in church. And I don't want them to know that I pray in tongues. For God's sake, don't tell them that.
No.
And I don't want them to know that on Sunday my Sundays are not available.
Yeah.
Because I'm already committed.
Yes.
My Tuesdays are not available because I'm already committed.
Yes.
My time is not just, you got every other day of the week you can do what you want, but you can't have my Sunday morning because I'm committed.
Committed.
You can invite me, but my Sunday's not available. I can't just turn every time you call. And it doesn't have to be family. It can be job. Yes, some people have to work on Sunday.
Sometimes
you have to work on Sunday. But it can't just be this open-ended invitation that, hey, no problem. What are you doing on Sunday? Hey, no problem. I'm always available. You can at least make the statement, Sundays I go to church, and if you need me to be here, I'll come be here. But I do have an obligation. God wants to see that you're at least going to make that stand.
Yes.
But you got to be like Paul. Every letter he writes, I want you to know I'm writing to you. I'm an apostle of God. I want you to know I'm writing to you. I belong to God.
Service.
I want you to know that I'm held captive by God. I'm a prisoner of God.
No,
I want you to know that I'm surrounded by God.
Yes.
Jesus said that I want you to know that my Father's in heaven.
Yes.
I know who I am.
John
says and asks him, says, are you sure you who you say you are? He writes back, he goes back to John. He says, tell John, I'm healing. Like God's Son should heal. I'm delivering like God's Son should deliver. I'm raising up the dead like God's Son should raise up the dead. I'm winning men and women. I'm preaching like God's Son should preach. Tell them, yes, I'm the one. You need to make up your mind. Are you saved? And I say, well, I do go to church. I can't deal with no churches. They always got something. You know that is right. Churches always got something. You need to stop doing that.
Yes.
And tell them ain't about the church. It's about God. And ain't nothing wrong with God. God is perfect in every way. We all got God. We all religious up in here. You ain't the only person who got a Bible, but I'm the only one in here who's reading it.
That's right.
And I'm the only one in here who believes it. And I'm the only one in here who's committed to it. If you can say that, maybe you're not. Maybe you are just like them. You all got Bibles, but you're not reading them. You don't even know where yours is. You don't pick it up from Monday through Monday. maybe so.
That's true. Yep.
But that's not what it's supposed to be.
Nope.
I need to know who I am in God.
Yeah.
I need to know. He says, Jesus is continuing to question whom the men say that I am. And people were always saying he was something. They said he was everything except Jesus. We need to make up our minds so we can declare like Jesus, I'm crucified with Christ.
Yes.
You ain't got to run down that little church down there. You can be in, you can worship God anywhere. You know what you ought to do? You ought to call them on and say, let's worship God right here. You got to call them on
it.
Say, let's worship God right here. I'm going to sing a song. You pray, we're going to read a scripture. Let's worship God right here. Call them on it. You can worship God anyway. Okay, good. Tonight, let's turn off all the music. Let's turn off the hip-hop and all that. And let's get on our knees. We're all going to worship God right here. We're here, two or three together in this name. He'll be in this. And since we can worship right here, we can all agree to worship God. This ain't no church up in here. I know. That's why I'm going to one. You ought to call them on it. Haven't you figured out yet? It is a corruption. And so, I've got to turn to the one scripture I'm talking about. This is in Peter. It's in 1 Peter, about the third chapter, and I'll be done. It isn't a matter of knowing who Jesus is. It is a matter of knowing who Jesus is. When are you going to start telling people who you are? Who you are. Why do you go? It's not a social club. I'm so tired of people in churches comparing themselves among themselves.
and with themselves, as Paul said, which is not wise. Listen, I'm not your competition. I'm not the one you're supposed to compare yourself with. The benchmark is Jesus. It's never me. If you know, whether you feel like you're not as spiritual as me or 10 times more spiritual than me, the benchmark is still Jesus. You until you are able to walk on water, until you see Jesus, and you'll never be equal with him, but until you see Jesus and the change from mortal to immortal, how do you consider yourself spiritual simply because you compare yourself with me? Yeah. Aren't we all walking on earth?
Yes.
Don't we all have to pay bills? Don't we all have these mortal bodies? Do we not all get sick from time to time? Don't every one of us get angry from time to time more than we should? Don't we all get discouraged from time? Don't we? Aren't we all like that?
Yes.
And the difference is maybe I don't get discouraged as much as you, and maybe I've been the word longer, but I'm mortal just like you are. So why are you comparing yourself with me?
Yes.
How do you raise yourself up and become more spiritual? Because you think you're more spiritual than me. The thought that you think you're more spiritual than me makes you not be.
Yes, yes.
The idea that how you rate your spirituality is by looking at all those around you shows how carnal you are, and you're part of the world system, because that system is competitive. It's always one against another. It's the dog-eat-dog world. Ever since the garden, people started disagreeing because the first person Adam and Eve disagreed with was God.
Yes.
God told them not to eat from the tree. They decided they'd do it anyway, and it went downhill from there. So then, why are we sitting back? If I think that you should grow more spiritually, then maybe I should help you. If a brother be overtaken with a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be overtaken. In other words, you need to consider where you would be without the Holy Ghost, and how the Lord has brought you up, and how, and you should want everybody and every man to have this hope. Every person who is spiritual wants everybody else to be spiritual. Every person who's saved wants everybody else to be saved. Every person who's on their way to heaven wants everybody else to be on their way to heaven. That's how we know sometimes more than you think. That's how sometimes we know whether you're saved or not, because you don't want to go to heaven. And everybody in whom the Holy Ghost dwells
has a hope.
When you have that hope, John writes, he says that every man that hath this hope, he says, it does not yet appear what we shall be. We're not immortal like Jesus, but we know that when we see him and we'll be like him, those of us who know who we are, I, John, saw on the Isle of Patmos, Peter says, as the apostle of God who is with him, everybody declares themselves to be in God. When are you going to declare yourself to be in God?
All right.
You need to declare yourself to be in God to yourself. You need to say to yourself, I am in God. In God I trust.
Yes.
You need to make up your mind.
Yeah, yes.
Finally, it's in 1 Peter, about chapter number 3. And he talks about it in about being the corruption that is in the world through lust, being delivered from that. Jesus. It's not in 1 Peter, it's in 2 Peter.
2 Peter 1 and 4.
2 Peter 1 and 4, she says. 2 Peter 1 and 4.
Or 3.
2 Peter 1 and 3, she says.
One, no, it's 4, sorry.
Yeah. 2 Peter 1 and 4. Whereby given us, and I'll read the New King James as well as King James and probably in New Living Testament too.
Translation.
Whereby given us good and precious promises. By which are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, partakers of the Holy Ghost. The devil doesn't want you to be a partaker of the Holy Ghost, and he doesn't want the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and work the work in you that the Holy Spirit is able to work. So he keeps you carnal and keeps you off balance, because he keeps you looking at the world, and he keeps the thorns and briars of the world to continually tug and pull at you. It's a job. It's a person. It's a husband. It's a boyfriend. It's a fiance. It's a career. It's money. is health. It's something always that keeps the spirit from being able to maximize his power in you. He says that that we're given partakers of the divine nature, because when we're born again, it is of the spirit, not of the flesh. And we're baptized into Christ by the Holy Ghost, and we're partakers of the divine nature. Our nature changes, which is another thing you resist. You know, and I notice this too, and I hate to beat the drum about families, because I have one too. My family is no different from anybody else's. Families want to hold on to you and traditions and cultures and everything else. That's okay, as long as they don't interfere with me and God.
Yes.
Because I need my nature changed. I don't need to be like the corrupt me.
Yes.
I'm not your drinking, smoking, cussing, do anything. And not only am I not your drinking, smoking, cussing, or cousin, I'm not your drinking, smoking, cussing, listen to rap music all day and put up with you and your profanity and all your foolishness and all your sin. I can't put up with you anymore. It's not in my nature.
Yeah, that's right.
I find it offensive.
Yes.
Being around you. You wear me out.
Yes.
I love you when I go to a funeral and we have a good time, but I can't stay long.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we don't have the same mind anymore.
That's right.
I'm a new creature in Christ. If you know you're new,
then
your family needs to know you're new.
Yes.
Your friends need to know you're new. Your job needs to know you're new. Everything you touch, you need to touch knowing that you're in God, and you're touching the world that will corrupt you if you will allow it. All these things will come in on you like thorns and briars and choke the life out of you, which is the Holy Ghost. He says, partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, by the way of the Holy Ghost. The way I have escaped from being from the world, blotting my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know you're close sometimes to having your name blotted out?
Wow.
You know, you're pretty close sometimes to the Holy Ghost leaving you. You're gonna keep on one of these days till you get to a point where you don't even hear anybody tell you about God.
That's right. Yeah.
You're gonna keep moving sometimes, and you're gonna get to a point where you don't even have, you know, you don't even have a mind to obey God. You know, we talk about coming to church, and people, when people go to church, they're not all saved. But it's, you know what church is? Church is a very spiritually juvenile and immature show among young believers and babes. It is, when you talk about the least you can do in God, the least thing you can do in God is go to church.
Church, yes.
Sinners go to church.
Yeah, they do.
The easiest thing for a person to do in God is go to church. It's easier to go to church than it is to pray.
Yes.
It's easier to go to church than it is to read your Bible.
Yes.
It's easier to go to church than it is to change. It's the easiest thing you can do in God to show that you have any sign of being in God is to show up in a service. You can show up and sleep through it. You can show up and take a vacation in it. You can show up and, you know, one of the most minimal things you can do when you say you're saved, just come to church. It's like they're so saved, they go to church. No, it's the other way around. One of the babies go to church. Sinners go to church. So when you think you're really somebody in God, you can't even walk in the building.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
That's a problem.
It shows you where your spirituality is. When God doesn't have enough priority in your life that you won't set aside any time, and anything that comes up supersedes God.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't reserve it for when you can't be there. Sometimes you can't be there.
Yeah, yes.
You're sick, can't be there. Policeman, fireman, soldier, sailor, marine, can't be there.
Yes.
Store worker, you work in Walmart, you gotta eat. Walmart's open on Sunday, can't be there. Work a job like Minister Smith does sometimes. They get a project, can't be there. You have to reserve the times that you can't be there. And it can't just be one of these things where you just go, you know, any little thing that comes along. Hey, you know, you want to go shopping tomorrow? When you want to go on Sunday? Well, what are you going? Well, you know, I'm not going to church. What time are you going? Oh, we're going to go about 11. Okay, I'll go.
Problem.
Where is your Holy Ghost? You know?
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
It's a problem.
We're going to do such and such. We're going to have a picnic in the park. You're going to have a picnic. When you going to have it? Sunday. Everybody's off on Sunday. I'll sleep in day. You're going to come? Well, I guess I'll go.
Yeah.
When are you going to stand up and say, I am in God.
Yes.
I am that I am by the grace of God.
Yes.
And that is the time I might be in the park, but it will be after I have already done what I need to do in God. I'll come back when I finish going and glorifying God. But since there's nothing to be gained by me being here all day, every I need to put my time in God because He sustains me.
Yes, yes.
Jesus, even on the cross, knows who He is.
Yes.
He knows exactly who He is. Such that when He's on the cross of Calvary, and the thief beside Him says, when you are coming to your kingdom, remember me.
Yes.
Jesus doesn't have a problem saying, well, if I get in there, I'll try and remember. No, He knows exactly who He is.
Yes.
When he's on the cross and they're telling Him, if you be the Son of God, come down. Jesus is saying to them, I don't have to come down. I know I'm the Son of God. I have nothing to prove to you.
You? Yes, that's right.
When are you going to figure it out? He don't have anything to prove to people not like that. You want to prove to people you're God? Act godly.
Yes.
I don't have to answer to you about what my stand is in God. I don't have to take your questions about me and God.
Yes.
If it gives me an opportunity to talk to you about God, and it's an opening, and the Spirit says gives me something. But when you start to be contestable, and you start to be adversarial, and you become the devil's advocate, and everything I'm doing in God, you have a problem with it. That's when I need to tell you, get behind me.
Yeah.
We're done here.
We're done here, yes.
I'm going on in God.
Yes.
Don't question my walk in God.
Yes.
We're done here. It doesn't matter whether you're inside the church, outside the church, upside the church, downside the church, never heard of God, heathen, Satan, whoever it is, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Don't question my standing in God. But you can't say that if you question your own standing in God.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't tell other people not to question your salvation if you're not sure about it yourself.
Yes.
And if you can't make it to worship,
yes,
then you're not sure about your salvation.
All right.
You're not in faith. You're just wishing.
Yes. Amen.
The hope that you have, everybody stand. The songwriter wrote, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And he makes this point, you know, when he wrote this song, On Christ the Solid Rock. You know, and this is the thing too with me. Somebody asked me who's in the church. Someone else, I said, well, won't you trace your ancestry? I said, I'm not really interested in that. Oh, I am. I look through ancestry.com. I want to know who I am. I don't have a problem with that. You can do that all day long. But don't let it become a spiritual part of your life. Keep it where it is.
Yes.
And stop trusting to the ancestors. I'm doing this. I have all my ancestors looking over my shoulder. A lot of my ancestors probably weren't even saved. I know a lot of my family is not.
Yes.
I don't need them leaning over my shoulder. I got Jesus, and then every one of them saved, sanctified, full of Holy Ghost, and they all sit in heaven. They still can't save me.
That's right. That's adoption.
The best thing they can do is be an example of what I need to be. Everybody lift your hands. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your great grace. Lord, we thank you for your wonder working power and for your love, for your Spirit who dwells in us. And Lord, I thank you that you've given me a name.
Yes.
Lord, I have a name that is written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes.
And Lord, you know my name. Lord, I know who I am in Christ. When I'm right, I know who I am in Christ. When I'm wrong, I know who I am in Christ. Lord, when I'm challenged by someone on earth, I know who I am in Christ. When I'm challenged by the devil, I know who I am in Christ.
Yes.
And Lord, I can do what Peter says, but we need to be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. We are not supposed to quiver and quake and shake, Lord. We are supposed to give an answer.
Yes.
Lord, for the reason that we do what we do. Lord, we need to be steadfast, unmovable.
Yes.
Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that our labor in God is not in vain. Our work in God, our walk in God, our faith in God is not in vain. Lord, help us, O God. Lord, deliver. Lord, drive the devil far from us. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you. Loose us in Jesus' name. Go out. Lord, in the name of Jesus, set us free in Jesus' name. Lord, rebuke the devourer for our sake.
Jesus.
Give us a made-up mind to go on in God. Strengthen us
with might by your spirit in the inner man. Lord, stretch forth thy hand, Lord, and heal all the sick. Lord, touch every one of them. Touch Sister Nancy, Elder Rogers, Lord, Elder Triani, Lord, Elder Bishop Edwards, oh God. Lord, Elder Hudson, oh God, Bishop Lee, all those, Lord, who have any sickness in their bodies, Lord, who really need a touch from God. Lord, a touch from you, oh God. Lord, by the healing power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who bore the stripes upon his back. Yes. With his stripes we are healed. Lord, we are yours.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, yes. Lord, we ask you to bless every one of us and add to our number. Lord, bring us, all of us, those who walk in darkness, Lord, bring them out of darkness into your marvelous light.
Yes.
Cause them to know, Lord, they have been translated from the kingdom. They've been removed from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of your dear Son.
Yes.
Lord, we glorify your name, and we give you all the honor and praise in
Jesus' name.
And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy tonight. It's good to have a new covenant with us tonight. Praise God for you. And we'll be back Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.